I'm here today with Sophie Delaunay, Executive Director of the US section of the international medical organization Doctors Without Borders, better known by its French acronym MSF. Sophie, thanks for being with us on the Global Observatory today. Last week, MSF announced the closure of its activities and its complete withdrawal of Somalia, a country where it has been present for the last 22 years, as a result of, I quote, extreme attacks on its staff. Yet, the last security incidents that affected the organization were the killing of two MSF staff members in December 2011 and the abduction nearly 2 years ago of two other staffs who were released last month. Why such a decision now?
Why now, Jeremy? For various reasons. First, the attack of against Philippe and Katché, who were assassinated in December 2011, and the kidnapping of Mon and Blanca, who were only released in July 2013, are not the only incident that the organization had to face in the course of its history working in Somalia. They are the latest of a very, very long series of events. They are not the only incidents either. In 22 years, we lost 16 staff. We had several abductions, but we've also faced a number of intimidation, threats, difficulties to access some areas, request for taxation, etc. So working in Somalia has been a long series of tensions and difficulties to conduct our work properly. So why have we made this decision now? Why didn't we decide to leave in January 2012 after Philippe and Katché were assassinated? The reason why we make this decision now is that after these incidents, we've had to conduct some in-depth evaluation, risk assessment in the organization. It takes time. Also, it is through the release of Mon and Blanca that we've been able to understand even further the conditions in which we work. And it's only after they were released that we were actually in a capacity to act. After Mon and Blanca were released, we continued to analyze the situation and try to assess the risk of maintaining a presence in Somalia. And we came to the conclusion that we were no longer in a capacity to ensure safety of our staff in these conditions. We came to the conclusion through our analysis that a great number of actors and contacts upon whom we rely in Somalia to conduct our operations were contacts who had been either involved or supportive of the attacks against aid worker, or who had not manifested a strong willingness to defend humanitarian action or to provide their support to MSF in these situations of crisis. And so the risks have always been very high in Somalia, but as long as you feel that you have enough safeguards and you have an acceptable respect for the work you are doing, as long as you feel that there is a strong acceptance and a willingness from those who claim to be the leaders in this environment to protect your work or at least to try to defend our presence, we could stay in Somalia with a high level of risk. But if these guarantees do no longer exist, then it seems to us that it was impossible to stay in the country.
In the press communique that was released last week, you mentioned indeed the fact that what led to this decision is the fact that the authorities with whom you have to negotiate are sometimes supportive, as you just mentioned it, of attacks in general against humanitarian staff. This goes a bit against the current discourse of the international community that since the election of the new government presents it as a legitimate government and that shows great hopes for the future of Somalia with a security situation that apparently is improving. So what's your take on this, and are you not sharing the optimism of the international community as for the evolution of the situation in Somalia?
just to be clear, MSF's role is not to comment on the political or the economic situation of the country, but rather on the humanitarian situation that we observe on the ground. So on the humanitarian side, what is very clear to us is that there are enormous needs remaining in Somalia, and that the authorities, whoever they are not in a capacity to provide the basic services that are necessary for the population. So in that sense, we certainly don't share the optimism of the rest of the community when you see huge gaps existing in the health system. From a security standpoint, we're also very cautious about the enthusiasm around a so-called stability in Somalia. If there was such an acceptable level of security, I don't think an organization like MSF would be forced to withdraw from the country. We are by nature a very high risk-taking organization. Our job is to go to the people who are in need and to provide them assistance. Our job will never be to turn our back to these needs and to these populations. It's heartbreaking for us to have to make this decision, but we're making it because precisely we consider that the level of risk is totally unacceptable at the moment for a humanitarian organization like us. So we are very skeptical about the optimism surrounding the stability and the security in Somalia.
Should we see any implicit criticism of an increasing post-conflict discourse from the international community, where everybody should be behind the new government that we mentioned before? More specifically, this post-conflict discourse, as I call it, is reflected by the recent decision of the UN Security Council to integrate the UN mission in Somalia, meaning that all the work that the UN undertakes in the country, including humanitarian aid, should be under the authority of the political leadership of the UN mission there. So is there still some room for independent and neutral humanitarian action in Somalia, and did it play a role in this decision?
Clearly, what played a role in the decision is the realization that we could not rely on acceptable levels of guarantees and respect from various partners on all sides. Our concerns regarding the lack of respect are not just toward the Al-Shabaab, although they are certainly. As soon as we had announced our withdrawal, they took over two MSF hospitals, and they sent the patients away before they had finished their treatment. So this is a clear disregard of humanitarian aid. The government of Somalia also, after arresting and convicting the person who had assassinated our two workers and convicting for 30 years, released this person after 3 months. This person walks free in Mogadishu at the moment. It is a clear signal of a lack of respect for humanitarian aid and for the necessary presence of humanitarian agencies. But at every level, we've experienced some disregard about our work and our presence. So clearly we will always try to distance ourselves from a political agenda. We want to be forced to engage in such agenda, but what matters to us the most is to be able to conduct impartial care. And in these circumstances, we are in no capacity to do so.
You mentioned before that MSF is a high risk-taking organization, which is actually known usually to be amongst the last one to stay in a high insecurity context. Aren't you afraid that this decision to withdraw will affect organizations and that we might see some other humanitarian organizations present in the country just pack their luggages behind you?
I'm sure that every organization present in the country is already on a day-to-day basis questioning their presence. We've been doing so for many, many years because the level of risk is so high. And it's for each organization to decide where is the red line. So it's not for MSF to dictate although we acknowledge we might influence some choices, but it's not for us to dictate whether organizations should stay or not. I even wish, actually, that some organizations will consider they have sufficient level of protection or guarantees to continue providing assistance in the country. What is clear is that it's the Somali population who is going to pay the highest price for their leaders' inability to provide basic health services or even to allow for humanitarian action to take place. In Mogadishu alone, MSF runs the only pediatric intensive care in the city. In Jowar, women will have nowhere to go for a C-section if they face a complicated delivery. So this is to say that we never claim to fill all the needs in Somalia, certainly not. Unfortunately, there were a lot of gaps remaining, but in most of the regions where we work, we are the only care provider. So for sure, our departure is going to have a tremendous impact on the ability of the population to seek healthcare.
And in this regard, on the impact of this withdrawal, have you taken any measures before actually implementing this decision in order to alleviate this impact, such as coordinating with other organizations present in the country to take over some of your activities, or were there any such measures taken?
So before making the decision public, we unfortunately could not do a lot in reaching out to other organizations because the issue was so sensitive and there was so much security risk at stake that we needed to keep this decision as confidential as possible until it is very, very clear and until we have organized the safe repatriation of our team per se. However, now that it has been announced, for sure we're working around the clock to ensure the smoothest possible handover or closure of the program. So to give you an example, we're going to try to complete the patient's treatment and we'll leave our clinics open until the patients who have to complete their treatment have completed. We will stop admitting new patients in the meantime. Also, when possible, we will hand over our activities to other organizations if they are willing to and able to do so. But keeping in mind that in Somalia, if there was some potential for additional actors, resources and action, it would have taken place already because already MSF was not covering all the needs. So we are not so optimistic that our services and the quality of our medical services will remain after we leave our programs.
You mentioned the risks that you're fearing of reprisals on your staff, and you mentioned the measures you took to evacuate or repatriate some of this staff. But I think that you have like 1,500 national staff who are also present in the country who might bear the brunt of this decision and whom you cannot really repatriate. So what's your take on this, and are there any measures you took to try to alleviate those risks vis-à-vis the national staff?
Well, the decision to close our program is also a decision that was guided by the willingness to diminish the threat on our national staff. Out of the 16 colleagues who have been killed in Somalia, 11 were Somali staff. So already our presence in Somalia was putting these staff at risk. And the decision to withdraw is actually to limit this risk on our staff by distancing them from MSF. So it's a difficult decision. It's heartbreaking. It's also a concern for us, the security of our staff, the fact that they will be without a job once MSF has closed these programs. I think that a lot of them have learned a lot through MSF and they will be willing to continue this type of work and they will get opportunities to work with other organizations. Some of our staff also has been trained with MSF and may be willing to continue with us in another capacity and in other programs outside of Somalia. And we will definitely welcome to keep these staff as much as possible. This is how we're trying to organize this transition.
And to conclude, what would be the conditions for potential return of MSF in Somalia?
The conditions for a return in Somalia would be the reassurances that the person we rely on for our security or for the stability or for the control, let's say, of the areas where we work are leaders who welcome and understand our presence and are ready to try their best to ensure some acceptable work conditions for us. So this would be the main conditions. In every country where we are working, there is a high level of risk. We know that Somalia is going to remain unstable for some time. And this is not what makes us stay out of Somalia. What would make us come back, however, would be that given the high level of risk, we were able to get satisfactory guarantees from our contacts there.
Sophie, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Jeremy.